and then Russia on it, and then Poland on it, but mostly Russia.
Uh-huh.
And when I was born, it belonged to Russia.
Uh-huh.
But as I said, the culture was German. We talk German.
Uh-huh.
And in the schools, they talk German.
Uh-huh. Well, can you tell me what type of schooling did you have?
Not yet. Okay. First of all, when I was 6 years old, I had to go to Hebrew school. You know, that's over there was no such a thing as compulsory attendance school. Whoever had the money, you had to pay for it. So my father had a school in Lvov, and then the Russian government was persecuting the Jews all the time, they were hounding them. And all at once, an edict came out that all those Jews who live in Lvov, who came there after a certain date, are not allowed to stay there, have to leave.
Okay.
And they have to sell their businesses immediately and get out. You know, the first thing they do is they send their rabbi to St. Petersburg to try to get whatever it was. Anyhow, nothing helped. My father asked somebody to go to the store, and he had really nothing to do. He worked for Lvov was an export, a city where they exported grain from Russia to the West. Those carloads of grain came there, and he worked for one of those brokers, like weighing out the grain. It's not like now. They had to, the peasants carried the sacks of grain on a scale, and it was weighed, and then they took it off and carried it on a ship.
And your father kept the record.
And then he lost his job, and then it just so happened that his brothers were here. He had four brothers, the three brothers in Pittsburgh. Yeah, three brothers in Pittsburgh. So he came to the point that he really had no place, nothing to do. I think how old was he? He must have been around 12, I think. He must have been about 50 or 51, something like that, at that time. So they told him they'll send him a ship pastor. That means a
package.
It was spiritual. And he left. Oh, no. He left. Well, he only left. See, I was already then. Now I have to tell you about myself.
How many were there in your immediate family?
Eight children, six girls and two boys.
Were the brothers older than you?
No. My brother was 12 years younger than I was. 12 years, and I left when I was 19, he was 7. And I had a sister, 5. That was the end of it.
The three of them, there were just three of you who remained alive?
No.
They
had a girl, they all stayed there.
They
started to work over there. And I'll tell you what happened to me. I went to the Hebrew school, and then, of course, I also, then I studied this elementary school. The Russians put in a school there. They call it the Crown School to teach Russian to the people. And this is for Jewish children.
Okay.
They call it the Great Crown School of Lvov. The Hebrew Crown School in Lvov. And the cost was very, very little, and we didn't really have any money. And I went there to get my I would say it was the grade school here.
Okay.
And after that, high school, they didn't allow Jews. 10% or 5%, I don't know what the percentage was, and And really nobody could get in on unless they bribed the principal or the higher up. You know, we didn't even have enough money. we can not only drive, we couldn't even pay. That was out of the question. But there was one thing that the Russians allowed you to do. You're not allowed to go to high school, but you can study at home, and then whenever they have the examinations, if you pass it, you get the they call it extern. I was an extern. I started to study. And who were the ones that taught me? Jewish boys went to that high school that were rich. You know, their parents were rich. And they gave lessons to those boys who wanted to get a high school education. So for several years, I don't know how many years it was, I studied, and every year I went to take the examination and I passed until I think I was 15 when I got my last, when I passed my last examination, that was for high school. And of course, what did they study there? Latin and Greek and arithmetic and algebra, and I just started geometry, but that was the end of the 4 years, and I passed. And then something else happened. When I have a high school education over there, even if it is through just taking the examination, I am allowed to work in a drugstore, you know, as an apprentice. Now, which is, you have to work 1 year, 3 years as an apprentice, and then you have to go for examination a certified, a helper. They have a different word for it here. 3 years you had to be an apprentice, 3 years after you passed the examination as a helper. And then after that, if you passed another examination, you became a provisor, provisor, they call it provisor over there. My boss is a magister pharmacist, he was a German. I worked for a German for 3 years. Although I knew the Germans over there was so... They were... I can't explain how they treated everybody else. They were the top.
What were your relationships with the Nazis?
Over there? Well, the man I worked for was a pretty nice man, although he was a German. He was a nice man, even though he was a German.
In spite of himself.
He was a nice man.
Did you and the other Gentiles in the community? Did they treat you badly?
No. They didn't. But at that time, around that time, they started the revolution. They started this socialism, which I despised. I couldn't take. They started, they wanted me to get in with them. Socialism, they explained to me, is going to be ideal. The world is going to be wonderful. Everything is going to be like heaven on earth. There wouldn't be any rich. There wouldn't be any poor. Nobody will be persecuted and so on and so forth. Wouldn't be any laws against Jews and so on. And one man who was, must have been one of the workers for the socialists, came over to see me. I don't know whether I'm getting ahead of myself or not. But came over to see me, and he is trying to get me to become one of them, like a member in the socialists. And he told me, I said, what is it? What kind of thing is this socialism? He says, my friend, you see how the factories work and how they oppress all the workers. They don't pay them enough. They just pay them so little they don't even have enough to eat. They make all the money. So that'll keep on for a long time. And there's going to be a certain part of the population that will get richer and richer and richer, and the rest of the people will get poorer and poorer and poorer. And then the day will come, there will be just a few rich that have, that will own everything, and the poor will take it all away from them and divide it up. You know, I'll go along with you, but I want to be one of those where it accumulates the money. I'll stay there until all the money is accumulated, but since you have to have that kind of people, I'll try to get that money, and when it comes, you'll take it away from me, you'll take it away from me. Oh, you just...
Yeah, there's a difference in the thinking.
I said, I'll go along with you. You say that the day will come when they'll take away, that all the riches will be in a few hands, and then the rest of the people will have nothing. Well, since you have to have it, I want to be one of them.
Sammy, were you at that time a religious person? Did you go to a synagogue?
Oh, up to 13 years old, I had bar mitzvah and all that. And
what was your synagogue like?
Oh, very nice.
Large?
Yes, a large synagogue. Yes, you have nice rabbi and all that.
What's the population of the city?
700,000.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, it was a very nice city, yes. Very nice.
Okay.
Now then they started, then around that time, you started to hear about pogroms in Russia. And it's already rumbling, they already, you know, they can always get someone that'll go along with them, and they say, you come along, we're going to destroy those stores, and then you take everything, you know, you can get them here today, you can get them over there that time. And they started, and there was, but in Libau, we didn't have a pogrom.
You didn't have
no,
a pogrom?
No.
But at the time they started taking away the properties of the Jews. They didn't do any killing or confiscated your father's business?
Oh, no, we didn't have that yet. Oh, no. He had to sell out, and that's all. No,
I see.
They didn't, that is already German efficiency, what you're talking about.
Did you belong to any political organization?
No.
Why did you leave the country?
Now here. Then my father, when I got a job in a drugstore, and since I had that privilege, that's already a privilege, I am allowed to work in it. It wasn't a drugstore. Over there they had a drugstore and a protectorate. We in owner-handed medicine. No tobacco, or no fountains, or anything like that. That's medicine. And we even prepared all our own pills and everything, and our liquid cough drops. And I remember how I worked in the laboratory 1 year over there, and I we had a certain cough medicine that my boss was selling, they call it percussion. They even have it here now. And I was the one who showed me how to make it. And what I did is thyme, you know, thyme. I had a cooked that, and then add sugar, and add a few more things.
They were made basically for
marriage? For marriage, yes. And then that was for cough medicine. So we make, and when the doctors prescribed any kind of medicine, we had to prepare it, even pills, roll the pills and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty good at it, and in 3 years or 3.5 years when I worked there, my father, you see, then when I started work for the Speer was his name, I was getting 25 rubles a month.
That was a lot of money.
And then my father decided to go to this country and see what he can do here, because he didn't have a job over there.
So he came here alone?
Yes. And I stayed there with my mother and my six sisters and a brother, but they were all small, you know.
Uh-huh.
The youngest one was 5 at that time. And I tell you one thing, 25 rubles, I was living, I lived in the drugstore. I see. Night, because over there they open at night too. That is, they're not open, but every night somebody else is on duty. The bell rings and you have to, you know, somebody comes for a prescription, you have to pay. So I had to live there those 3 years, and naturally the boss lived upstairs, and they always got down and went upstairs in the back to eat. So nothing, I didn't spend any money on myself. And every month, when I got the 25, I didn't know of anything else. I don't know what in the world they needed like that.
Yeah. Well, when your father became established here.
That's another story. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you leave the country? Okay.
Yes. Because at the end of 3 years, my boss's contract with me, paying me 25 rubles a month, and at the end of 3 years, he'll give me 100 rubles as a bonus that I can go to the city in Russia that I have to take the examination to become the next stage, like the helper. And the 3 years were over. My father came over here, and he looked back, because he can't speak the language. His brothers bought him a store for 200 rubles, $200.
Yes.
They gave him $200, and he bought him a store, a grocery store, on Pennsylvania Avenue, in Pennsylvania, in the north side, but he couldn't speak the word. So he had a girl, he hired a girl for $5 a month. Was it $5 a week, or whatever it was, and she did all the talking.
Wow.
The business was no good. She wrote that stuff. She said, turn my time. And when I got the 100 rubles, it was stirring over there in Russia. I could see the people in Libau, the Latvians, you know. They were just ready to jump on the tubes. I could see that. And I didn't like that whole atmosphere over there. When I got the 100 rubles to go to Kazan, that's in Russia, for my examination, I went home and said to my mother, I said, Mother, I'm taking this money and I'm going to America. And she said, good. She was afraid I couldn't get into any trouble over there. But I don't know, you know, they all came for me, and although I was not with them, but you can never tell them, you can get into trouble over there. It wasn't like here with all those lawyers and so on. But anyhow, I said, I'm going to buy a ticket and go to the America. Oh, she was there. And I left. I remember going, I want to say goodbye to the boys that worked with me in the drugstore. I remember that this one young man who was already a helper, he was already through the examination. He was off that day when I decided to leave. You don't forget, Libau is a port city, and the ships left Libau direct for London or whatever it is. And then from London they took, I took a train to Liverpool, and in Liverpool I got
that's how you got to America.
Yeah, I know, but from Libau, the next day, I mean, I made up my mind, I'm going, I got the 100 rubles, and I told them all, I'm leaving, I'm going to the United States. And when I told my mother, started to go, I want to say goodbye to some of my boyfriends there. And I remember one, they were there, they lived in one of the finest homes. So I had to go, because he was off that day, you know, he worked so many days, and his name was Tesla. I remember his name was Tesla, DZ, I thought, yeah, it was a Jewish girl. And I went and his mother answered him, and I told her after that he was home, she said, no, he's not home, what do you want? I told him, I'm going to America, and I want to say goodbye to him. Oh, she cried, you spoke to me? I see on the phone, you see my sister. In German, she said, we have the born right in Land Russia. That means I have the right of living all over Russia. No, Jews didn't have that. Jews are only allowed to live in the places. But when you became in my position that I already worked in Russia, then we had a right to go anywhere in Russia. Because we were educated. I was already supposed to be one of the educated guys because I had a high school education. I don't care if I do have the right to go in Russia. I don't like them. I'm going away. I'm going to a few countries. You know, by the way, I used to read Fenimore Cooper over there and Jules Verne, and I was so thrilled with all the things that, of course, Jules Verne was a Frenchman, but he wrote a lot in his stories about the United States, about the Civil War and so on, and about Indians, and I used to read another, most of the books that I read was about this country. After we got the 100 rubles from my boss, I bought a ticket to go to New York. My people were in Pittsburgh, my father was in Pittsburgh. But anyhow, the ship left Libau, I think once a week, and I boarded it, went to London, and from there I had to take the train to Liverpool, and then I was put on a steamer to go to the United States.
How long did it take to do
that? I think it was 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yes, and I
and
just...
And you traveled how?
Years. And I was sick all the way. I was laying down there in the bottom of the ship for 3 weeks.
Approximately how many other people were in the bottom?
I really don't know. Plenty of them.
What first impressed you when you came to the United States?
Free air.
And you just fell in love with the country,
and I still am in love with the country.
I see. Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh? What was it like?
Well, they took me around to see my relations, I can remember what one of my aunts said. You know, Lottie, that was one of her daughters. You know, here in this country, she has a fella. Yeah, and she said a fella.
This was unusual in New York, in your country?
But she, fella, in German, is a failure, you know, is a... German dictionary. I'll tell you what it is in
the... Failure is a mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And tell me, did your relations live on the north side with you?
Yeah. No, on the north side.
They
all
live all
the
on the north,
places.
I think. Sure.
Yeah. I remember one of them lived on Linden Street and one on Federal Street.
Was there anything about life in the United States that disappointed you during the first 5 years?
No.
And was there any point in which you felt that you were unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No.
And after having lived in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would accomplish your goal in coming here?
I tell you, I never thought of anything like that. I just kept on working, trying to make out.
Where was your first home in this area? What was it like? Big? What was the neighborhood like?
Well, of course, until my people came in 1916, don't forget that my father and I lived in back of the store in one room.
Right, this is what I want
to know. Yes, from 1906 until 1915, we lived in one room in the back of the store.
I see that. Right. How long did you live there? Till 19?
16. Until they came. And then we had a house on the Hizaka Place.
Which
was a big house, and there was enough room there for everybody.
You were a pharmacist when you first came to this country?
Well, we call it that, I guess.
It was really a soda clerk.
Pardon me?
It was really a soda clerk.
Well,
yeah. You didn't actually make out prescriptions?
No. I couldn't, because I would have to get my examination cleared. I wouldn't be allowed to do that.
I see.
But my father wanted me to go through with it study or to get to become a pharmacist, but I didn't. I told you the reason why I thought it wouldn't be.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And how much did you earn?
I told you I earned $5 a week.
For how many hours?
From 7 to 10, 7 days a week.
Okay. And that was that. You worked all of Jewish holidays and Saturdays.
Oh yes.
And. You didn't belong to any type of a union of any sort.
Oh, no, indeed, I didn't. There were no unions in those days, 1906, 1907, 1908. No.
What kind of schooling did you have in Pittsburgh?
Oh, in Pittsburgh, I went to night school to learn English.
And how long
I
did you go
there? I took up accounting, too, because I knew I have to have it for my business, when I started those other stores.
You never did anything in Halfway Makers. You were pretty far thinking all along.
I went to Pitt in the evening.
Pitt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. How did your Gentile classmates treat you?
I don't know. In the evening classes.
They were all adults.
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about Hader by that time.
No.
Did you like music?
No.
No. Did you go to concerts or operas?
No.
Did you go to the Yiddish theater or any of the theaters?
No, I didn't. I liked the movies. I was just, whenever I could go to
movies. Where did they have movies at that time?
I remember the North Side had one place, Kenyon, the Kenyon Theater. Oh, that's all torn down.
Where was that located?
That was on Federal Street. And also, I used to go downtown. There was the Grand, I think, on Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm.
And did you attend lectures of any sort?
For Zionist lectures, yes.
I see. Did you go to any of the public libraries in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yes. Every once in a while, yeah. Well, the North Side had a community library. I didn't have too much time.
Did you read any of the Pittsburgh newspapers?
Oh, yes.
Which ones were in existence at that time?
When I first came here, I remember the boys used to call out, "Leader Kelly Presenson." Leader Kelly Presenson. That was the evening paper. Uh-huh. The Leader and the Chronicle Telegraph, they called that the Telly.
Uh-huh.
Press and Sun. There were four papers, if I remember. Maybe there were more, I don't know. But that's, I remember that sing song. Leader Kelly Presenson. And in the morning there was Post, Gazette, and Dispatch. There were three at least. And it was 1 cent, you had to pay 1 cent for a paper.
Oh, my.
Paper was 1 cent. And the North Side, another thing. One set, family came from Libau the same time as I came.
Yes.
And on Sunday afternoon when we were closed, our store was closed, my father was tired, and I wanted to go and see them. They up at 1600 Fifth Avenue. I walked from the North Side there, because it cost 5 cents big time. And I had to pay 1 cent for crossing the Sixth Street Bridge.
Wow.
And I was told.
I see.
1 cent.
Isn't that amazing?
And I looked at it and I thought, my, this would be a wonderful business. I thought, people walk over and you pay us to get the money.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't figure it out how that worked.
You were excited to be a big business.
Oh, sure.
All right. You didn't consider yourself a religious person when you came in there.
No.
Did you change any of your religious practices here?
Well, I joined the temple in Building Sean. Been there for about 40 years, or more, so maybe 45 years.
Oh, I see. What was the Rudder Shulam like at that time?
Well,
where was it located?
Still on? Yeah, it was the same place where it is now. But of course they enlarged it, they built it recently.
Really?
That was recently.
And how frequently did you attend? After the high holidays or something?
Maybe I went there for the high holidays, but not much. I remember, there was a little shul in the north side. They organized it, I think, Beth Israel, they call it, Beth Israel. My father was one of the charter members. Oh, I heard a story about that. They had all Russian Jews, that they were just about, I mean, the families were there by maybe 25, and they got that building on, it was near Middle Street, on East Street, I think it was. They just recently,
was
last
year. Was that a small house?
No, it was like a hall. They bought it, and there was an old church that they bought. And when they organized that, they wanted to elect the president. And who was there? Mr. Jacobs. And he was a German Jew. And he kind of looked at all those Russian Jews like they were all dirt. But of course, he was also Orthodox, so he took the presidency. But he wanted everything done his way. My father came home one day. I didn't go there. I had a tent to store. Your father went there. He said, this is the funniest thing I ever heard. He wanted something. Jacobs, he was a German Jew. He wanted something done. And the other ones didn't like it. They didn't like it, and they kind of voted him down for that particular, whatever it was. And he got so mad. He said, he got mad and he said, "Der alte Moses hat schon mit euch Trubel gehabt." You see, he figured himself above all that. It was the Russian Jews that were not from Egypt. And Moses had trouble with them. So he says, "Der alte Moses hat schon mit euch Trubel gehabt."
So already he was a martyr too.
You understand what I mean?
Yes, I
understand. Old Moses already had trouble from you. From you.
From you, yeah.
Not from him.
True, I understand. Did you carry on any Jewish observances in your house?
Oh, yes, my mother was very religious. She was very, she had culture and everything, yeah. But the girls all got away from it. And I and my brother passed away of it. 10, 12 years ago. He was 12 years younger than that.
Uh-huh.
He was an attorney. He was in the Second World War, he enlisted. And he came back and he went to California and he passed away.
Did you experience any changes in your health due to the climate or food when you first came to Pittsburgh?
No. No trouble at all.
Where did you go for medical care at that time, if someone was sick in your family?
Either we went sick. Oh, my father was sick. I think it was a Dr. Hirsch at that time who used to take care of him. But aside from that, none of us were sick.
I'm sorry. What were the first organizations you belonged to?
Then when I got some of those salesmen who used to come to me to our store, I remember some of them asked me that I should belong to a certain organization, Knights of Pythias. And so I belonged to them. But I couldn't go, I didn't have the time. Then I joined the Masonic Order. I was I remember that for a good many years, probably 50 years ago, 45 years or so. And naturally, why I made children and so on.
Did you belong to a charitable organization?
Well, what do you call charitable organizations?
These are all charitable organizations. Did you give Pushkies of any sort? Pushkies?
No.
And did you contribute to charity in other ways?
No, that's good.
Where did you go to have a good time?
Where did I go to have a good time?
Yeah. When did you get married, by the way?
I was married in 1922. That person, my wife died in 1942. And then I married in Elizabeth in 1944. We just had 25 years.
Where did you go you didn't have time for a good time?
I didn't have time for this. No, I had a good time working. Isn't that strange?
Well, this is true. I find this to be so typical of anyone who had to start out there.
I bet you, you people are the same way. They are interested in their work, and that's more pleasure to them. I can see when I see how they advance in these years. I feel that they just love to work.
Surely.
And I felt the same way. Although I am very comfortable.
Uh-huh. You didn't participate in any sports of any sort.
I didn't know anything about baseball until I retired. That's right.